The Geek News Central Podcast for March 4th, 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Good evening, everyone. Or actually, it's evening for me, and this may not be evening for you. Hello, everyone, and aloha, and welcome to the podcast. And hey, we've got a great, great time for you tonight. Going to mix it up a little bit, and I want to welcome all our ohana out there. Welcome to the show. Of course, ohana in Hawaii and his family. We want to welcome you all to the show. And of course, all our new listeners, thanks for checking us out. And for those of you that have found us at various different places on the web, we want to make sure that you check out our website at www.geeknewscentral.com. And make sure you get the show there. We have a show that comes up every Tuesday and Friday. So for the new listeners out there, don't miss it. And for those of you that have been here for a while, thanks for tuning in again. We really appreciate it. This week, I've been pretty excited, even though my cell phone is still out of minutes, and by the time this gets up on the net, I will have fresh minutes, so I am going to be back in the cell phone business. It has been terrible, but it actually was kind of good that I was able to stay off the phone on most days because I was taking care of a bunch of stuff. But it's just been absolutely crazy. When we made the announcement on Podcast Connect, the inbox just absolutely filled up. And those of you that have not just hearing about Podcast Connect, check out podcastconnect.com and make sure you read the mission statement over there and what we've got going on. It's been an exciting few days, and I do have a few developments that's going on there. Officially next week, me and one of the other people that are involved here in Hawaii with Podcast Connect, we're going downtown Honolulu to one of the tall buildings, and we have a meeting with a prominent lawyer here to get some papers drawn up, and hopefully by mid next week or within the 10 days, Podcast Connect will be an official corporation. And we're doing that for a number of reasons, but we're serious, and I kind of like to. I'm telling some people it's just like Texas Hold'em. I'm all in. So this is no time for games. We're going to play hard, and we're going to have fun doing it. And everyone that I'm talking to, that's what I'm telling them. You know, this thing may not pan out, but no matter what we're going to do, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a real good time doing it, and that's what's going to carry us through on this whole thing. I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of people on Saturday, actually on one on Friday night and one on Saturday here in Hawaii. And those of you that are listening, you know who you are. So I'm looking forward to meeting you guys and having a nice chat. Now, I did have a nice conversation with someone at Karante. And if any of you read any of the Karante weblogs, you're familiar with their site. It looks like I'm going to be participating in one of their conferences in July. So as I get more details on that, we'll let you know. But I'm looking forward to that. Sounds like a lot of fun. So when they get their everything together, oh, I just banged the microphone. When they get everything together, we'll go ahead and let you know what's going on, what the topic will be, and everything else. So July in Portland. Looks like the geek here at Geek News Central will be there, and hope you will be too, but we'll get you the info on that conference. And of course, obviously, we're going to Podcast Expo in November, so that is going to it's going to be a full summer, and it'll be fun to say the least. I got to turn around here. I'm going to make a little change to something. Okay, there. That's a little better. I had to make an adjustment on the processor because I was noticing a little feedback in the headset. Okay. All right, I guess that's all I got to tell you what happened tonight. I picked the kids up, got off work a little early. Since the wife's been gone, the kids have been out to, they have this thing here in Hawaii called A+. It's basically an after-school program. They're kind of like overpaid babysitters almost, but they do educational stuff with them and get them out and get them exercised and, burn the sweat off them after school. And what I like about it is they come home with their homework finished. But anyway, I went to pick them up, and I said, okay, it's Dad's choice tonight. We're going to go and pick up some Chinese. So we went and grabbed some Chinese and came to the house and ate. And what I've been doing is I bought a bike. I think I told you that in an earlier podcast, but I've been riding with them every evening. And we go out and do about 30 to 45 minutes. I try to tuck her out, so I've been pushing them a little harder. So we went and had our little ride here around Port Island, had a great time, and came back. I actually got to see somebody get arrested. That was kind of cool, too, but that'll be another story. Anyway, we got back to the house, and so they've had dinner. We rode bikes. I said, okay, you guys got an hour before you need to be back in the house and get your showers. Go ahead, free time. About 30 minutes later, my boy comes up the stairs and he kind of sneaks off into his room. I'm like, what's going on? So my daughter comes up the stairs and she's crying and she has got blood coming out of her mouth. First thing I thought was that they'd gotten a fight or something, but I immediately jumped up and ran over to find out what's going on and got her in the bathroom and got her mouth washed out and got some paper towels in there to stop the bleeding. And it was actually the roof of her mouth. And so I got her calmed down. And of course, I'm tripping out trying to figure out how in the world did she cut the top, the roof of her mouth? How did this happen? So I get her calmed down. I get her laid down on the bed. And I have her open her mouth up. And I look in there and I'm like, did you fall down with a pencil in your mouth? I'm being calm. I'm not being mean. And she's, no, I didn't fall down with a pencil in my mouth. I'm like, well, sure looks like, this looks like a pencil mark, like she'd had an eraser in her mouth and banged herself, the eraser chewed off or something like that. And so I called my son in and they had been together and I'm like, okay, Ray, tell me what the deal is. Did she have a pencil in her mouth? No. And so here's the story. Okay. This is the story. And they either quickly contrived to completely stick with their story, or this truly happened. He said, well, we were out walking by the park, and they were out of the house. And we're out walking by the park, and Anna tripped and fell down. And when she fell down and her face hit the ground, now check this out, folks, her mouth was open, and she landed directly over a rock. He said when she got up, she spit a rock out and this blood came out. Oh, I'm thinking, what are the chances? I think my normal reaction is when I'm falling down is you're covering up and I don't think your mouth is open. So I'm like, okay, good story. So I checked her out and it was really painful around the, in the area it wasn't cut. She just was just, her eyes were squinting and I thought, oh boy, this could be bad. So loaded her up in the car, got the boy in the car. Off we went to the hospital and went to the emergency room. The doctor got her in to see the doctor, and the doctor gets her on the table, flips her up and looks at her and says, what? And he looks in there and he says, pencil? I said, she said rock. And he starts giggling, So I'm thinking, yeah, right. And the doc thinks pencil. I'm thinking pencil. They're both staying in their story, but anyway, long story short, we're home. So I got a late start tonight. But regardless, it serves her right. If she had a pencil in her mouth, she knows the rule. She knows not supposed to do that. But that's my Mr. Mom, Mr. Dad story right now. And I'm sticking to it, so we'll see what happens. Okay, a lot of cool stuff going on the internet. I've seen some stuff today that was just absolutely hilarious. And I've got a few audio clips I'm going to play for you tonight. And I'm going to hold off a little while to do those. And let's see if I can open this browser up without crashing the computer because I got this thing minimized. Oh, it opened up and the computer kept running good. All right. Hey, last show was on the Mac Mini. And tonight we're back on the Windows machine. And then I'm just going to be playing back and forth. So we'll see how it goes. See if you guys can actually tell the difference. Matter of fact, I think that's the next two shows. I'm going to do the next two shows and I'm going to let you guys guess. And see which, if you guys can guess which computer it was done on. Just to prove a point. But anyway, Steve Gilmore on Ziff Davis, he's got a little article here that he put up today. It talks about all of the, you know, like Ask Jeeves buying blog lines. And, of course, everybody's running around now thinking that their RSS company is going to get bought up. And, of course, people are excited. But I guess he was at a breakfast with some venture capitalists. Hey, Steve, how do I get invited to one of those breakfasts? I need to talk to some venture capitalists. Matter of fact, does anybody know what you do? Do you just call them and say, hey, I'm looking for some money? Or do they call you? How does that work? Anybody out there know? Let me know. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't. So maybe I'll find out this weekend from some of these people I'm meeting with. But anyway, if you are a venture capitalist, call me. I want to talk to you. And have we got a plan? We have a plan, baby. It's going to rock the world. Okay. Anyway, so Steve Gilmore talks about RSS and the investments with venture capitalists and how it's kind of a non-issue. And it talks about Dave Weiner and Dan Gilmore and Robert Scoble. We're talking about the Google Toolbar Autolink. And we'll talk some more about the Autolink here in a little bit. I have some hate mail I got today. And speaking of email, actually, this is not hate email, but I'm going to go over the email. I forgot to read that here a second ago. Okay, I'm not going to say who this guy is. I do not want to get him in trouble, but the email address that I got from him verified that he is a government employee. And this is basically, those of you that have read the Geek News Central weblog will know that I have an open letter to Google. Let me see if I can actually read you my open letter to Google. And I'm going to go into this now so that I don't forget. And, of course, the browser is just choking on me here. Come on, baby. Load up. And I got to pull the site up because I haven't got that queued up. Let's hit the home. Go home. That means go to Geek News Central. And the site is loading. And, you know, we did crash a server the other night from our load from the show on the Tuesday show. So hopefully we're going to see what happens tonight when we upload this, if the server can hang. I'm hoping that it can't. Okay, here's my open letter to Google that just filled my inbox with about 75% hate mail and 25% positive stuff. But here's what I had to say. And this is for those of you that haven't read it. And if you have read it, tough, you're going to hear it again. Okay, now that you've decided to betray internet content providers' trust by enabling the Autolink technology in your Google toolbar, I have a few demands. I am sure these demands will be ignored, but at least I can tell you what I'm concerned about. Even though visitors to my site using your toolbar may be tricked into going to some company's website that I do not support, I affiliate with people I want to affiliate with. I do not want you planting false impressions upon those that are not as technologically inclined as most of my readers. First, I want a way to prevent your Autolink feature from creating your advertising links on my website. Well, there is, we found out later, there is a JavaScript that'll do that. I haven't put it up yet. Second, if you are not going to give us a way to block Autolink, I want you to pay me every time you cause traffic to leave my website by a reader clicking on one of your links that's not mine. Along with that, I want independent auditing of those clicks always. Third, I suspect that you may be violating my copyright and Creative Commons license. That will be up to a copyright lawyer to determine. I'm sure their lawyers have already said it's not going to, but I don't want people changing my content. I don't want you guys coming to the site and, or unsuspecting people coming to the site and having links put on there. I know it's benign right now. I know that's only linking to books and that kind of stuff, but tough. But anyway, here's a letter. I'm interjecting. I'm sorry. Google, you have sold out. You have betrayed the trust I can speak tonight, can't I? Google, you have sold out. You have betrayed the trust of those of us that like your service. I am sure your lawyers have examined this with a fine-tooth comb. Obviously, I want you to spider my site, and I want users to find us via the Google search engine. When they visit, I also want them to click on our Google ads on the way out. But I do not want you to steal my readership by planting these links on my page that I did not put there. What shall your response be? Hey, there's been no response. They haven't responded. They're not going to respond. You know, just because there hasn't been enough outcry. And I know a bunch of people have already complained about this. And you guys are probably sick and tired of hearing about it. But here's a letter that I received, or an email I received from a listener from this podcast. And he says this. I work in government, have a 4,000-page website containing mostly statutes and legal opinions. And the inspection by anyone of unwanted, unintended links has huge implications for the integrity of millions of government and nonprofit websites. I call it the non-commercial side of the web, the unknown web. This is a part of the web that Google and other purely commercial entities either don't know about, don't consciously think about, or don't care about. But real people actually do get real help from these sites. Subjecting statutes, regulations, legal opinions, medical information, scientific research, artistic creation, etc., to unplanned and purely commercial links is treading very dangerously, I think. And he points me to a petition that's going on online. And I'm going to put this petition up on the show notes. If you guys don't think that Google should be doing this, go ahead and go over there and sign that. And I guess the issue, you know, the real issue I have with the whole deal is that I don't want to be forced to allow them to do that. I don't want it to be automatic. Some of you are going to say, well, what's the big deal? You know, I think it is a big deal. And you know, Microsoft tried to pull this off before, and, you know, we all bashed them, and it didn't happen. So anyway, that's my rant on this, okay? And I'll shut up from now on. And I appreciate everyone's comments. And you, if you go to the website and read the comments on the website, you're going to see, boy, there's a couple of people just, man, they fire me up. They just unload with both barrels. Okay, what else we got here? Okay. Oh, Andrew? All right. I have gotten a response back from a whole bunch of people on my question on whether I should go to 3 shows a week. And right now the consensus is 2 is enough. Most everyone is saying, hey, that's about all I can afford you to be in my ear. Basically, you'll be competing with other people. So it's going to stay at 2, folks. It's going to stay with 2 unless there is a terrific demand. All right. Also, hey, David out in Tennessee. Hey, buddy. Thank you. Thank you for the Podcast Connect logo that you made up for me. And we're looking forward to those goodies that you've sent me in the mail. If anyone else wants to help us out with Podcast Connect, even if you're not a podcaster, if you're just an enthusiast and you like the medium, you need to send an email to me at partner@podcastconnect.com. Okay, what else we got here? Got another email. Oh, Charlie. Yes. In the words of Bill Durham, build it and they will come. That's right, baby. We're going to build it and they will come. And I do see your stuff in quotations here, if the content's good. I agree, the content has to be good. But we've got a plan, so don't worry. The content is going to be good. And oh, the last one is some independent music we've got for you at the end of the show. I better get talking or else we're not going to be able to play any independent music. No, the artist that sent me some, we're going to play it regardless because I absolutely love the song. One of the songs he sent me, I really like. The second one, we won't talk about that. But the first one was really, really good. And so you got a little something to look forward to here. Okay. What else we got in the browser? All right, I've already talked about that. Okay. There was a professor at the University of Michigan that used my weblog using Jason Calacanis, Asa Dotler, Chris Perillo's, Robert Scobel's, Andy Seide, Bill French, Brent Simmons, a whole bunch of webloggers. He used our sites as part of the project that he did for a business class at U of M. And even though I am a Spartan fan, even though I'm living here in Hawaii, I'm a big Michigan State fan, these guys did he's got a great post up on what they've kind of learned from studying our weblogs and interaction and doing their own class project and doing their own weblog. And he's got part one of the article up. Now, I sent him, thank him for sending me the link to the article, but he sent me a email that I guess there's going to be some more information coming, but this is a great read. And I said, hey, what are you going to, look at podcasting? And unfortunately, he's not teaching this semester, but the plan is, he says he's going to look at it next semester. So I said, wow, I sure would like to send you a list of questions to ask your students. And he might be able to do that for me. I don't know. No commitment yet. But hey, that's going to be kind of fun to see if they'll do a study with the, you know, at my age, you know, I keep quizzing people that are young, what's going on, what are kind of music you're listening to, how you listen to it, where you're listening to it, where you're getting it, who you're sharing it with, you know, et cetera, to kind of get a feel for what the younger generation's doing. Okay, a little rumor control says that blogs killed the New York Times circuit section. Basically, it wasn't getting any traffic. So it looks like Engadget and Gizmodo, you know, as much information as they're putting up on their sites, probably did them in. Now, I must admit, I want to congratulate Engadget. They had their 1 year anniversary, and some just amazing number of posts, like 8,000 posts. I think on Geek News Central, we have 3,800, and we're approaching 3 years of being online. So, wow, that's just shocking. And you look at most of those posts have graphics all set up with them. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay. Also, I am going to put a link up to those of you that want to block the Google Auto Link feature. I'm going to have there's a link up to a JavaScript that you can put on your site that will do that. Now, the next thing. I just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I'm hoping this is going to take it. Hopefully, it's going to make tape here or make it to the hard drive. But there's a guy that's got a website up, and it's called it's Blugcaster at www.blug.com/caster. And he's got my podcast and three or four others. And he says there's a bug in it, and some of the podcasts play fast. So let me see if I can cue my podcast up and see if you guys get a chuckle out of this. Okay, it says loading, buffering. And is it going to play? Come on.
Friday, February 11th, 2005. Oh,
it didn't do it this time. Well, that bums me out. The first time I played it, it didn't play right. It played like, you know, like Mike's Manic Minute. That's what it sounded like. I was going to give you guys a good one. Ah, I'm sorry, folks. You guys missed it. But first time it played, it didn't play right. Oh, that just bums me out. Okay, well, on we go. So, you know, that's podcasting. What can I say? Okay, there's a good article on BlakeRoss.com. Talks about companies are winning battles, losing wars. And one of the big challenges that the Firefox team has had is that advertising companies are continuously working to bypass the anti-pop-up protection that they have built into Firefox. You know, these guys have made it a sport almost. They're out bragging that they were able to, bypass our code so that they would get a pop-up to come up on a website. You know, we're all pretty much sick of seeing those type of pop-ups, but he's got a great paragraph here. It says, hint. If you're trying to disable a pop-up ad to someone who doesn't want one, you won't be around in 2 years. Because if your company Oh, I am really jacking this up, because if your complete and total disregard for customers don't do you in, the short-sightedness you've exhibiting in trying to make a quick buck will surely bite you in the beep in other ways, like being completely blindsided by smarter, more human competitors. Well said, Blake. Great, great, great thing there. So, any advertisers listening out there, no, you're not going to win friends and influence people by continuing putting pop-ups in people's podcasts. Okay, for those of you that are podcast crazy, there is a RSS, actually a Yahoo group, that will send you an email every time there is a new podcast put up on the podcast. It's audio.weblogs.com, I believe. And be prepared to get a lot of email, because there is a lot of podcasts being pinged over at that site. But if you want to see everything that's coming out, and you probably will want to set up a rule or get a digest version of that, but I'll put the link up to the Yahoo group, and go ahead and subscribe. And that way, if you're not, you at least get an email or a rundown of all the podcasts that are out there that are available. Okay, there's an interesting article from Rex Hammond. He's CNET made a pretty, they put an article up, and it's kind of curious. Okay, the quote on it is "The Coming Crackdown on Blogging." And it says, basically, reading a story, the crackdown is a hypothetical possibility. Maybe there being a chance, perhaps, that the Federal Elections Commission may try to place a value on the link bloggers that make to candidates' websites, and then perhaps maybe try to treat those links as an unfair contribution. So, you know, that's kind of like trying to say, and I'm not going to talk about parties or anything like that, but let's say you like candidate X, and you make a post about candidate X in a positive way on your website, and it links to that person's candidate site, then the Federal Elections Commission possibly is going to crack down, saying that that is added value to that person. That is just, he just goes into this and goes off and says totally, totally erratic thought. And he's basically wants, he's calling CNET to task. He says, if CNET can produce one member of Congress who will go on record saying they support specific regulations by the Federal Elections Commission, that crack down on bloggers who link to campaign websites, and then and only then will this be more than another Fox controversy. So he's calling them out, saying, come on, show the proof of, you know, where's your proof? All right. Some of you have been following the Dave Weiner, Adam Curry saga. There was an interesting email in the podcaster's mailing list today, and Dave put up a musical podcast. And I'm not going to play it all for you, but he replied to the article, or replied to the email, and put some interesting comments in there. So if you want to see it, you have to go to the sign up or subscribe to the podcaster's mailing list, which I'll put a link up to. And here is what he sung on his podcast. So I'll play a little bit here. At least I think I will. Here it comes.
Are happy ones, others are blue. It's the way you ride the trail that counts. Here's a happy one for you. A happy trails to you until we meet again.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Happy trails.
That just kills me. It just kills me. It's just so, you know, Dave is Dave. But and for those of you that don't know how Dave is, you just got to go to scripting.com and read his website. And you know, he's straight up. He says it how it is. And It just kills me. And maybe the rest of you won't think it's funny, but some of you might get in. And those of you that do, you do. If those of you that don't, you know, sorry, tough. I got a good laugh. Okay. Digital Man's Outtake. So, guys, I want you guys to check this podcast out. It's lance.heathville.com. Great podcast. And he's one of our tech podcasters. And I really want to encourage everyone to go over there and check that out. Check his site out and check his show out. Okay. Podcast Connect was lucky enough to the podcast promos website that launched a couple of days ago. They have aligned themselves with Podcast Connect, and we're happy that that site has gotten a successful launch, and we're looking forward to working a great deal with Trucker Tom, and we're going to play the podcast promos. He's got his promo. Now, for those of you that need to know what this is all about, basically, if you have a podcast and you want to put a promo out, go over to podcastpromos.com, upload your promo, tell everybody about it. And if you, if somebody wants to, they can play it in their podcast. I know a few of you out there have already expressed some things to me and saying, hey, we don't want to hear people's promos in your podcast. But guess what? I'm going to play some promos in the podcast from time to time and do my part to help podcast promos out. But here is the originator of the website's promo. So check out podcast promos.
Hey, podcasters. Want to get your podcast promo played and help out your fellow podcasters at the same time by playing their promos in your own podcast? Post a link to your promo right now at www.podcastpromos.com and exchange promos with other podcasters. Hey, Pete Porter prudently peruses podcast promos at podcastpromos.com. Say that three times real fast. That's www.podcastpromos.com.
Hey, is that perfect or what? That's like, that's a nice promo for another podcast. And I wish I had one that good. And hey, everybody, the guy that's got this website, he is a truck driver. He drives across the United States doing what he does. And you know what? He's doing a podcast. So those of you that have been sitting on the edge, you know, here's a man that's on the road. He's traveling, you know, and he's doing podcasts when he stopped. He's got a wireless connection to the internet so he can get out. He can get email, et cetera, at any time. You know, great, great work. And that just impresses the heck out of me. So I'm sure that site's gonna grow and explode, and we're looking fun to having a relationship with podcast promos. Okay, New Gads is pushing the envelope in hunting. You know, some of you out there are hunters. Some of you may be anti-hunting, but you know, I guess when I was growing up in Michigan and living in the country, and I did live in the country, and I lived on a dirt road. My grandfather has 1,000 acres of cash crop farming, basically, and he's got 100 and some acres of a woodlot or a woods. So the natural thing was I spent a lot of time out there, and it was a great place just to, you know, go in the summertime and hang out and, you know, explore around. And, you know, 100 acres of woods is a lot of woods. So you got to, you know, you could get in deep, you know, and really see stuff good. And it bordered another property, so that it continued on. So it was, you know, thick, full of wildlife. And, of course, you know, every kid's dream at that point when you're of age to go hunting is get through a hunter safety course and be able to go out and hunt. And, you know, half the thing about hunting when I was growing up was going out early in the morning, going in, you know, to the woods very quietly, sitting down and putting my back up against a tree. In Southern Michigan, you're not allowed to hunt with high-powered rifles. You have to hunt with a shotgun. You can't be in a tree stand. You know, there's all these, you can't have a blind. There's a whole bunch of rules that you have to be out in the elements. You know, you just can't be like some of these guys you see on TV. They're all you know, you can camouflage yourself up as long as you're wearing orange so you don't get shot by someone else. But, you know, it was like a stress relief. I didn't care if I got out and saw anything. It was just, it was the fun of going out, you know, and I'm sure if you got a chance, you know, you got a chance at a nice deer, all the better. But, you know, it was all about the experience. So apparently what's happening is some idiots are doing, hunting via the internet. You can go in and you can do like this live hunting online. You can control the gun and a camera via remote. That is just ridiculous. You know, spend the money, go someplace, do an organized hunt if you're going to do that. That is just so, it's repulsive to me. Because, you know, you shoot it, you better go get it. You better clean it, you better take it back, and tag it, and you better get it processed and put it in your freezer and eat it. And I just don't understand. I just don't understand it. I really don't. I'm sure some of you are going to be out there, oh, you know, I apologize if I offended anyone. But you know what? That's life. But this is just disgusting. I think it's wrong. I don't think people should be doing that. Okay. I know all of you went out there and got the Firefox security update. And the reason for that is it fixes some security flaws. So you want to make sure you get that loaded. And if you haven't, get over to firefox.com. Or run the update and make sure that you're running the latest version of Firefox. Okay, I talked about a couple of weeks ago about how some small community telecoms were blocking Vonage telephone calls. Well, apparently, these companies got their hands slapped. A judge sicked a $15,000 fine on them for doing it. So, go ahead and have some little phone company try to do that again and have Vonage try it out. You know, that's a quick $15,000. I'm sure it cost Vonage some money to litigate it, but I'm sure in that $15,000 was court costs, lawyer costs, and the whole nine yards. It's just, you know, that's just, ugh. Now, Netflix, they have vowed to fight, let's see here, who else? Blockbuster, Amazon. you know, is it the Red Bull? I don't know what it is. I can't speak. Amazon.com, they have vowed to fight these guys and said that they will take a loss for 5 years straight in order to beat Blockbuster and Amazon.com at their own game. Now, I think they might be able to whip up on Blockbuster, but Amazon? That's going to be a fight. So look forward to cheap DVD rentals by Netflix. And I encourage every one of you to go over to Netflix.com. And any company that stands up and says, you know, we're going to fight fire with fire. Hey, I'll support them. I'll rent DVDs from them. Now, I used to really talk about RFID tags a lot. And those of you that aren't familiar, well, most of you should be familiar with RFID tags. And most of the men out there, if you are shaving with a Gillette razor, you'll notice when you open up the replacement blades that inside that box, you'll see a little RFID tag. And the reason for that is it's a real high pilferage item. So what Walmart would do is, and it's also part of their inventory control, is you take, let's say you take a razor off the shelf. There's a sensor on the shelf that automatically knows that that razor has been removed. And then it's partially inventory, partially security, but my understanding of RFID was that it was going to get to the point where it was going to be embedded in clothes, wallets. It was going to be basically on everything that you had in your house, any consumer product, it would be embedded somehow, is, you know, depending on how they can layer it in. So my concern was, could they drive by your house with a truck with one of those big antennas or speakers and basically ping your house to see what kind of consumer goods you owned? Now, I've seen some articles that people have talked about that worry. You know, they already can scan basically stuff that's leaving a store. So what's to stop companies that are trying to build more marketing data from scanning your house, driving by an inconspicuous vehicle, having a laptop running, looking for RFID tags? So I guess it goes with anything else, you know. And I'll tell you a little story, something that happened to my wife and I a couple of years ago. When she gave me the good news that she thought she was pregnant, and she ran down to the local store to buy a pregnancy test kit. She paid for that pregnancy test kit with, I have a one of those share check Visa cards through my credit union, and it basically, you know, it automatically gets taken out of my check, and she paid for it with that. She came home to the house and did the test, and it was positive, and, you know, hooray, hooray. And the next day, she went to see our regular doctor and had an official test done with him so she could get on prenatal vitamins and all that stuff and get set up. Well, 7 to 10 days later, in comes the mail, and guess what arrives? A parenting magazine that said, congratulations, Todd and Choco. We hadn't had kids in 5 years. Who told them? Called my credit card company. They swore they didn't. They did not tell. They don't sell that data to marketing companies. I went back to the store and asked the store, do you guys report through your merchant agreement, or who you do merchant stuff with? They said, no, we don't. Talk to my doctor. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. So someone sold Parenting Magazine that info. So has anybody else had an experience like that? You know, that just scared me. As I was like, wow. So, you know, who knows what they could do with RFID tags. I want to thank everyone that sent me information on the XM satellite radio rate increase. Of course, we know what it is now. They're going from $9.99 a month to $12.95. And I guess if you've got more than one account, you get a little bit of a break. They don't charge you as much of an increase. So, you know, that's $3. What's that, $36 a year? And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay, Engadget has a pretty good article about tearing apart a shuffle. Actually, he's got a link to stripping. Yeah, he's got a link to the taking a shuffle apart so that when you have your shuffle battery goes bad, you at least know how to get in there. So those of you that have shuffles, go ahead and check the Engadget article out and pull down the regular article and save that in your favorites so that when you need it here in a couple of years to change the battery. Okay, what else? Google scored a big acquisition by grabbing one of their Windows programming architects, Mark Lukowski or something like that, has moved to Google. So it's fueling more speculation that Google is working on an operating system. Wouldn't that be something? That would just, would that rock Microsoft to the core? Especially if it was as revolutionary as, let's say, well, it was just revolutionary. If it worked, it was good. You know, can you imagine the mass exodus people would make just to put it to the man, put it to Microsoft? Okay, what else? Record labels are trying to block file sharing business model. There was a company that has a P2P network that worked, got all the licensing, did everything they were supposed to do, and they wanted to do share advertising revenues with the record labels, and they sued them. So the record labels still don't understand. They're still up there not having a clue. We're at 43 minutes. I need to hurry up. Oh, I want to talk about this guy. This guy, there was a guy that went for a poor man's getting a chemotherapy treatment, and he was walking with his friend and went by a fire station to on the way to a store to pick some stuff up. This happened in San Diego, I guess. And there was a nuclear detector in the fire truck. And the nuclear alert detector went off. At least it worked. You know, at least it worked. Can you imagine? What was that guy had to be radiating to set this detector off? Do we have to run a Geiger? Should hospitals be running a Geiger counter over patients to make sure that they have a non-lethal doses coming off them? You know, I'm joking, and it's a serious thing, and we're saving people's lives. But wow, that thing was really sensitive. I guess it was bought through Homeland Security, Homeland Defense Department's grant money. At least they've got them on there. I think that's pretty good to know that. You know, at least some big cities have them. I just wonder how many cities do have them. Okay. Another thing that happened was with this Vonage deal is that Vonage is having some issues with some of their traffic. And what's being thought was going to happen is that ISPs, instead of slowing down Vonage's traffic, they're just going to make their traffic at a higher, give them a higher priority. And so it's really not doing anything. The Bonnie's traffic will be traveling at a normal speed, but the other traffic on the network may be at a higher. So I hear, I just got, that was one yawn, folks. But if you saw the time, you'd say, how come you're not yawning, really yawning? So I'll link to that up. There's a TechDirt article and a real good read on that. Okay, I think I have covered everything. We're at 45 minutes. Man, we're long. I'm going to play this music song for you anyway. And you know what? I don't know the artist. He didn't send me the artist to this music, but we're gonna put it up here right just about now. Hang on. I'm trying to click the button. All right, here we go.
Turn the volume up as we kick off today's showcased independent music artist.
Sorry about blowing you out there. Oh, that's here we go. Try this again. And I think they talk a little bit in the background before they start. Here we go. This is a nice tune.
We're going, the wind hits so hard. Something fast and softly spoken. Words that spill into these empty pools. Never meant that much to you. Well, our sounds are softly going nowhere fast. But all these things.
Great tune. It's a really great tune. We're at 48 minutes. I apologize for being long today, folks. You've been listening to the Geek News Central podcast. You can reach me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. We will see you Tuesday. Those of you who want to get hooked up and get rocking with Podcast Connect, give me an email to podcasts@podcastconnect.com. Take care, folks. We'll see you Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Rock on. Bye-bye.